With a Song in My Scheme of Work by Stephen Fawkes, published by Silt, 1995, recorded by kind arrangement with the Language Unit at BBC Education by Stephen Fawkes. Warning: all rights reserved. No part of this recording may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic or mechanical, including recording, or by any information storage or retrieval system, without permission in writing from the publisher. The purpose of this cassette is to suggest some practical ways in which songs can be used in the foreign language learning classroom. Songs that may come from the target language countries, or purpose-written songs devised by the teacher for a particular class. And the title of the cassette, With a Song in My Scheme of Work, reflects a light-hearted approach towards some activities in the classroom, as well as the business of planning things in advance. The structure of the cassette is as follows. There is an introduction with rationale and some explanations, and then there are examples of songs linked to strategies for their exploitation. Each of the songs is preceded by a short pause to enable you to locate that song should you wish to use it in the classroom later on. The curriculum is now asking us to remember that creative activities are a strand that go through everything that we do, every topic and every issue that we might exploit. And we're asked to give pupils opportunities to take part in imaginative and creative activities. And also to ask them to learn by heart phrases and short extracts such as rhymes, poems, songs, jokes, and tongue twisters. The strength of songs is that they encourage people to learn things by heart, and indeed sometimes they are unforgettable. People who make advertisements on television know this, so they can fix the image of their particular ice cream in our minds by establishing a particular tune to remember it by. We learn from research that there are various strengths in a multisensory approach towards learning, that colour, music, movement, tune and rhythm can help people to remember bits of language. We also learn that the affective side of people's minds is very active in helping them to remember particular language. Underlying these activities in the classroom is the issue of pleasure, and the message of pleasure that we as teachers can put across can be a force for motivation in our pupils. We tend to have very busy schemes of work with lots of things to do, lots of topics to get through. But we also need to give our pupils a very deep-seated message about enjoyment, about why we enjoyed learning languages and what there is to be done with languages, apart from just giving information and giving directions to people. This comes through in the ambiance of the classroom, and it comes through in the attitude of the teacher towards ideas that come from pupils, and the sorts of activities that can be planned in the classroom. On the topic of songs, my feeling is that the effect they have on pupils is not necessarily because they are done well by the teacher, but because they are done at all. This first song is an example of an authentic tune, this time from Germany. It's called Mein Hut, der hat drei Ecken. Mein Hut, der hat drei Ecken, drei Ecken hat mein Hut. Und hat nicht drei Ecken, dann ist nicht mein Hut. It's a traditional tune, so it's got peculiar words to it, but it's got a nice rhythm and it's got some nice sounds. If we were going to use this song in the classroom, we could have various purposes for using it. We could just be listening to it to enjoy it. We could be listening to it to try to join in with it. We could be listening to it so that we can get people to say whether they like it or not. One problem with authentic songs is that we need to learn the tune to them and the words at the same time. And I shall follow that up later on when I speak about homemade songs. However, we could also use this particular song if we wanted to find out things about German word order, that difficult problem for pupils to get hold of. We could actually use the words themselves on overhead transparency slips and manipulate them to show them how the things change place, while the verb, the hat word, still stays in the same position in the sentence. So there are possibilities for different sorts of follow-up than just participating in the singing of the song. However, if that's our main objective on this occasion, we can start from that song and then pick out the rhythm of the language, the rhythm of the words inside the phrase, by repeating it, or by clapping at particular points during that rhythm. We can emphasize where the stress of a longer phrase lies by humming it or by conducting pupils as they say it or sing it. Learners need opportunities to try out the language that they've learnt, and they need lots of repetition in order to get to remember language that we've been teaching them. They also need confidence to try and do something different with the language that they know, and they need awareness of a range of different styles from which they can select things to do with that language. In other words, they need to know that the little bit of language they've learnt can be used in more than one way and in more than one context. For teachers, we need to bear certain principles in mind when we're doing creative activities. Learners need to have a structure in the early stages of their learning so that they can feel safe that what they're doing won't be wrong. And they also need encouragement for coming up with their own ideas and with their own opinions. The teacher may need to take part in activities such as this themselves by suggesting zany or inappropriate ideas, and may need to organise activities in the classroom for everyone to participate in, where pupils have opportunities for gap-filling, or redrafting, or asking questions, or offering personal opinions and reactions. One of the long-term objectives of working with creative materials is to get people to think about the quality of their work in terms of its style, or the quality of their performance, or of what it looks like when it's published. So if we were to think back to the song Mein Hut, der hat drei Ecken, and think about the performance of that, we may wish to split the class up into various groups, each of which would have one particular phrase, one word or one group of words to remember, so that we could combine it at an early stage to get a good quality performance from them. If we're using a song stimulus in the class, we might start off just with listening. We would be asking pupils to listen, as they may well do to their coursebook material, for key words in order to match them. We might ask them to listen in order to fill in gaps in the text. But we can also build on the distinctive nature of a song sort of text and ask them to listen in order to review the song, possibly giving it a score, or to focus on the words that rhyme, if it's a song that rhymes at the end of its lines, or in order to pick out the stress of a particular phrase for pronunciation training, or finally to get them to join in. The next song is a German version of the English traditional children's song, Ten Green Bottles, which has the advantage that it's a very repetitive song. It also has very short lines, which are more memorable, and it follows a very predictable pattern. The fact that it's a familiar tune in English anyway will help pupils hopefully to join in more easily. For the first hearing of the song, the key thing is likely to be the rhythm, and one or two sounds only. I call this song Zehn Weinflaschen, and the first syllable that pupils would tend to pick out is likely to be the Flaschen bit, which sounds like an English word anyway. The second run through a song may pick out particular words, and one phrase might come in because it's repeated several times. So in the first two stages of listening to the song, I'd be wanting to focus on a word and then a phrase so that we'd be able to gradually join in as the song goes along. This is what the first verse of the song sounds like when I sing it. Zehn Weinflaschen hängen an der Wand. Zehn Weinflaschen hängen an der Wand. Und so eine Weinflasche verschwindet von der Wand. Es gibt 9 Weinflaschen, sie hängen an der Wand. Once we've picked up the key words that I want us to get hold of, flaschen to start with, wein flaschen, zehn wein flaschen, and then the phrase hängen an der Wand, we can start to do it more as a performance, asking pupils to join in a sort of round, where particular lines or words are delegated to particular groups. For the second rehearsal, I'd want to focus on how things might change in the next verse. So I'll pick on the line zehn wein flaschen and show with my visuals on the blackboard or the projector how it changes to neun wein flaschen at the end, and then get the pupils to suggest what's going to happen when that's repeated later on in the song. One of the skills which a song text can help learners to develop is that of ignoring words which are redundant or don't really have much sense inside a line, a skill which is much more difficult to develop as they come in contact with longer texts later on in their experience. Having gone through the steps of acquiring single words like flasher and then phrases like hängen an der Wand, we're finally left with the difficult line containing the polysyllabic word verschwindet. On this occasion, this is where the rhythm of the tune can actually help us to get the pronunciation right and get the stress in the right part of the word. I'll just sing for you once more the first verse and the second verse of this song to underline that. Zehn Weinflaschen hängen an der Wand. Zehn Weinflaschen hängen an der Wand. Und so eine Weinflasche verschwindet von der Wand. Es gibt neun Weinflaschen, sie hängen an der Wand. Neun Weinflaschen hängen an der Wand. Und so eine Weinflasche verschwindet von der Wand. Es gibt acht Weinflaschen, sie hängen an der Wand. The examples that follow now are going to illustrate the following points, I hope. That songs are different. They're a different sort of resource for pupils to use and provide another route towards their learning. They support them in their sensitivity to the sound of the language through the rhythm, so they learn what a long piece of language sounds like instead of just an individual word. They can help people to remember particular bits of vocabulary and structure if we want them to. They can have a cultural dimension if we choose a song from the target language country. They encourage active participation, but they also allow the option for pupils to be in the audience and to watch or to listen, which is still valuable for them. Above all, they can be enjoyable, not just for the learners, hopefully, but also for me. The problem of using songs that come from the target language country is, as I've said before, that the vocabulary may be a bit recondite, and their tune will no doubt be unusual or different for pupils to come in contact with as well. This is why I like to develop homemade songs which are based on familiar tunes, so that we don't have to cope with the two things at the same time. The strengths of these is that I'm in control of the vocabulary and the structure that I put into them. Their tunes are already familiar, and I don't always need to use a cassette, so I can burst into a song at the drop of a hat. Finally, homemade songs are very personal. I've devised them to use with my particular class. This gives the pupils an important message about what you can do with language, even when you're using quite a small amount of language. The next example is about active involvement in an activity to do with a song. And for this one, I used the tune of the Okeechobee, a familiar tune from childhood, in order to frame language to do with asking directions in German once again. First of all, I'll set the context for you. One of the things to worry about is not putting too many new words into a song, because although it will be memorable gradually, if we throw too much at people at once, they won't be able to cope with it or see how it fits in with what they already know. So on this particular occasion, the class already knew the direction words and about asking directions in the town, and the objective was to put that into a different sort of context. So first of all, I set up the scene with a little story. I told them, ich bin in der Stadtmitte, and I made a symbol with my hand to show them what I meant by Stadtmitte, a circle with a dot in the middle for the middle of the town. And then I told them about what was round about me. Hier sind viele Autos, and I made the noise of the Autos, viele Busse. Ich suche die Schule. Hier ist eine alte Person. And I do them a mime of an old person. Bitte, wo ist die Schule? At this point I take on the character of the old person to gesture, ich verstehe nicht. Then I return to my first characters to say, ist das links? And point with my left hand. Ist das rechts? And point with my right hand. Oder was? And I'd just make a helpless gesture with both hands to say I don't know what's going on. Ich verstehe nicht. And then I do put my hand to my ear to suggest I want to hear again what she said. Sprechen Sie lauter. And then I add, bitte, and put my hands into a prayer to make them see that's what I'm asking. The actions become important during my performance of the song which comes next, as I shall be doing them and then asking the class to join in with them. So this is my version of the Okie-Kokie. Ist das links? Ist das rechts? Links, rechts, rechts, links. Ist das links? In der Stadtmitte? Sprechen Sie lauter bitte. Links oder rechts oder was? Oh, bitte, bitte, bitte. Oh, bitte, bitte, bitte. Oh, bitte, bitte, bitte. Links oder rechts oder was? When you perform a song like this, you expect some applause at the end of it, of course, from the class, before you move on to your next step. In this case, I would be asking them to join in again with the actions. I may pick the actions separately and ask them, what action would you do for in der Stadtmitte? What would you do for bitte? What would you do for sprechen Sie lauter? And so on, before going on to the next sort of performance where I'd try and get them to join in. At this point, we've got the problem of whether we're going to use the words in their written form or not. Are we going to put them onto the blackboard for people to read as they're trying to sing? That can cause many problems for pupils. If we can link the actions directly with the words, so that I'm dictating to them by the action and getting them to follow on, that might help them to remember things more clearly. One of my objectives in doing an activity like that, apart from having a good time myself, is to get over the idea that listening is always connected with testing, and get into the idea that sometimes listening can be for pleasure, can be just for the fun of doing something different. The problem with homemade songs such as this one is that they do require time for us to compose them, to refine them, and turn them into activities that we can use in the classroom. What I wouldn't like to do is just to have that particular song as a one-off, which had no follow-up to it. It takes me too much effort to compose it and then to perform it, for me to want not to exploit it further. Coming up with ideas of what to put into the songs also requires some imagination and some lateral thinking, which we can usually get at if there's more than one person available at a time. An interesting issue connected with songs in the current curriculum is that they are always intended to be performed, or to be listened to, of course, to have an audience, in other words, which is a key issue of the communicative classroom, and which we can build on as pupils proceed through their years of learning languages. At the outset, however, we need to remember that we've got to maintain our pupils' confidence in what we're doing in the classroom. So whatever the activity is, we need to have a good knowledge of our class. We need to know whether something is going to work with them or not. We need to know exactly what we want to get out of an activity or out of listening to a resource, whether it be a piece of cultural information, something to do with pronunciation, something to do with a linguistic point, or whatever it might be. We need also to plan how the class will cope with it. We can't just throw something at them and expect them to enjoy it. They need to know what's going on and what they're expected to do. So for a song like the Okeecokee, there are some classes who wouldn't like it, they wouldn't enjoy it. They might be intimidated by it, or feel that it was a silly activity. The only way to find out is by trial and error. Sometimes expectations of how a class will react are misplaced. One thing to bear in mind at the outset is that a performance activity should be short. It should possibly come towards the end of a lesson, so that if it goes wrong, we can move on to something else without ending up on a bad note. But if it goes right, we have a good feeling towards the end of our lesson. The next song followed on from the Okeecokee one, because again it was to do with places, and again it was a German song. It struck us in the class at the time that we ought to write a song to a more contemporary tune. On the principle that we should respond to the sort of thing that pupils like anyway, we chose the tune of Neighbours, and that tune is reproduced by permission of the publishers at this point. It struck us that the title Neighbours had a certain assonance with the word Neben in German, which means near to or next to. And so this song was structured around prepositions to do with place, words which were familiar to the class, but which I wanted to remind them of and to put again into a different sort of context. Once again, each of the prepositions has a movement associated with it. The ones I used, I'll describe, but of course other people can come up with other ones. So the words in the song include auf, that means on top of, and I would normally put my hands on my head. Unter, I'd put my hands between my legs. Rechts, I'd point to the right. Links, point to the left. Gegenüber, the word for opposite. I would move my hands to my chest and then forwards to point to something else. Vor, meaning in front of, I'd place my hands on my chest. Hinter, behind, I'd put my hands behind me. Neben, the key word, I do this one by moving my hands from one side of my body to the other. And zwischen, in between, I put my hands to either side of the head. So my steps through this activity would be, first of all, to check that pupils remembered the words and show them the actions. So then we would have a sort of activity where I would give them instructions and they would do the action according to the word they heard. Then we'd turn the activity round, I would do an action and see if they remembered the word, and gradually build up confidence that we could cope with that. At this point, I wanted to link with the written word as well, so I had the individual prepositions on slips for my overhead transparencies, and I would show them a word to see if they could read it and do the appropriate action. When it came to the performance, I wanted them to join in straight away on this occasion, so I placed all the words of the song onto the overhead projector so that they could read them and join in as they went along. Some pupils joined in with the actions, others joined in with the words, others joined in with both. But gradually, as we repeated the activity more than once, we got to know these prepositions fairly well. And it meant eventually that I could remind them of what the word was by doing the action that accompanied it. So this is my version of Neben. Neben, gegenüber, auf und neben, zwischen, hinter, vor und zwischen, auf und unter, rechts und links. Neben, gegenüber, auf und neben, auf, unter, neben, vor, rechts, vor, links. You can imagine that during the performance, we have an aerobics performance at the same time. So that song was really linked vaguely to grammatical words, words I wanted people to remember because they needed to use them in particular sentences. Sometimes the structure of a song can also help pupils to develop a grammatical sense, to see how a pattern is repeated and how things work. For example, we can use the repetition in a song, or the syllable count in the line of a song, to reinforce the pattern in something grammatical we may want them to remember. If we were to take the theme tune for EastEnders, for example, that's got a certain rhythm to it, a certain number of syllables in each line. So it goes, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, and so on. And this struck me as having the same pattern as a verb in German. If I'm learning a verb in the present tense, it tends to have that number of syllables in it. Ich gehe, du gehst, geht. So I could set my verbs to that tune to reinforce in the minds of the pupils what the verbs sounded like and how long they should be. One advantage of a physically active session in a lesson is that we can refocus energy of the class when their attention has started to dissipate, maybe towards the end of a lesson. We can also ask them to come up with additional actions which might fit in to an extension of the particular song. The next one is a French song, based on actions once again, and again it's a version of a childhood song from Great Britain. There are three verses in my version of this song, and each one involves movement. The first verse involves the finger and the thumb, which the pupils are asked to wave about. The next one involves the arm and the leg, which they're invited to raise into the air when they say that word. And the third verse includes the words stand up and sit down, which they're invited to do at the same time. Le doigt et le pouce, ça bouge. Le doigt et le pouce, ça bouge. Le doigt et le pouce, ça bouge. Un, deux, trois. Le doigt et le pouce, le bras, la jambe, ça bouge. Le doigt et le pouce, le bras, la jambe, ça bouge. Le doigt et le pouce, le bras, la jambe, ça bouge. Un, deux, trois. Le doigt et le pouce, le bras, la jambe, debout, assis, ça bouge. Le doigt et le pouce, le bras, la jambe, debout, assis, ça bouge. Le doigt et le pouce, le bras, la jambe, debout, assis, ça bouge. Un, deux, trois. To get pupils involved in a song like that will obviously take several attempts. On the first run through, we may just pick up ça bouge, the most common line, and maybe the numbers and the clapping at the end. But then gradually I'd hope to pick up the other words, maybe over more than one occasion of singing. Sometimes I'll use a song to frame a piece of particular language that I want pupils to learn. And this example is when I wanted my Year 8 group to learn the parts of the verb avoir. The way I put this activity together was to link it to the topic of pets, which we'd just been covering, and to show them illustrations, first of all, of people who had particular pets. This was on visuals, which I used on a poster. There was a picture of a girl with a dog. There was a cartoon of two people with a speech bubble containing fish. There was a cartoon of a speech bubble and picture of lions inside it, and the zookeeper standing next to that. There was a speech bubble containing a cat. There was a picture of two boys with two snakes. There was a speech bubble containing a rabbit. And there was another speech bubble containing a question mark and a variety of animals. These were to represent the lines of the song, which were, in a random order, elle a un chien, nous avons des poissons, vous avez des lions, j'ai un chat, ils ont deux serpents, j'ai un lapin, and the question, tu as un animal? First of all, the visuals were exploited to make sure that people could tell what my pictures were supposed to be. And then they were shuffled into the order of the lyrics of the song. Each of the visuals was then labelled with a letter so that we could do a matching activity just after that. I then produced the written forms of the lines of the song, and I asked the class which picture it would match up with, and they needed to tell me A, B, C accordingly. So by this time, we had the words of my song matched up with the visuals in the correct order. While I was showing them the words, I could focus on particular things that we needed to remember. They'd heard me say the phrases, they'd said them themselves, but I could now point out to them things like silent S's or liaised S's that came in various places. So once the lines were put together in the right order, the song can be sung. J'ai un chat Hannibal, tu as un animal, elle a un chien. Nous avons des poissons, vous avez des lions, ils ont deux serpents longs, j'ai un lapin. At the end of such a performance, the class has an excellent reason for writing down the song that they've just been singing. And this provides them with a reference item containing the whole of the parts of the verb which I want them to remember. In other words, it's put into a context which they can refer to again and again, because they might well need to sing the song again. Thinking about reference material brings us on to the issue of how pupils actually do remember what we've asked them to learn. And some pupils will remember things through a visual route. They will see the pattern of the words as they're written down. Other people may well rely on the auditory route and remember the sounds of the words. Or indeed, people may remember things by examples. They'll remember particular phrases with particular constructions inside them. On my classroom wall, I had the poster of possessive words in French, which we referred to quite a lot with my Year 8 group. And we discovered by a small manipulation of this poster that we could turn this into a song as well. So this is a little song to try to remember the words that mean my and your and his and her, etc., using the tune of Frère Jacques. Mon mamé, ton tâté, son sassé, son sassé. Notre, notre, nos, oh, votre, votre, vos, oh, leur, leur, le, la, les. We manipulated the le, la, les into the bottom line because it fitted better with the rhyme scheme. Also, by having the proper article at the bottom of the line, we could refer upwards to find the particular word that we were looking for when we were writing something down. Finally, on this side of the cassette, I'm going to suggest a song which will lead pupils into contributing their own ideas towards making up a song of their own, which will be pursued more on the other side of the cassette. Using a traditional song such as Savez-vous planter les choux, we can start off with some listening activities where we're focusing on particular words, but then we can use visuals and other cards in order to develop new ideas and new things that could go into the song, but within a structure and with quite an open-ended opportunity for providing ideas. Savez-vous planter les choux à la mode, savez-vous planter les choux à la mode de chez nous? On les plante avec le nez, à la mode, on les plante avec le nez, à la mode de chez nous. Savez-vous planter les choux à la mode, savez-vous planter les choux à la mode de chez nous? On les plante avec le pied, à la mode, on les plante avec le pied, à la mode de chez nous. The virtue of this song for providing ideas is that the parts of the body that come on the end of the principal lines don't have to rhyme with the other bits of the verse. So pupils can provide other words and just try them out and then see how they sound. The principle is that in each of the verses the part of the body changes, so they soon have the idea that's what they're going to come up with. And they can make up their own verses, which can be sung with the whole of the class to see how it sounds. At the same time, if they make suggestions which are slightly inaccurate, they maybe choose the wrong gender, or they miss out the singular or plural definition, the teacher can comment on that and put it right as they're writing the examples onto the blackboard. The other thing I like about that particular song is that it reinforces the phrase savez-vous, which is quite a nice one for classroom management in other activities as well. This is the end of the first side of the cassette.